Hello, everyone. Our verse today is Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. Then the master of the house said to his servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Jesus makes this statement in the parable of the Great Supper in Luke chapter 14. In this moment, it is obviously a rebuke to the Jewish people who refused the grace of Jesus and rejected the invitation to hear and to follow the Lord's Christ. The Messiah that Israel had been waiting for since the days of Abraham was standing right in front of them, and when they were invited to partake of the great work that God had determined to do, they gave weak and pitiful excuses as to why they couldn't come. In this parable, Jesus tells us that these excuses angered and frustrated the master of the house, so he tells his servants to go out into the highways and to the hedges and compel everyone to come, so that his house might be filled. And that was always the master's will. It's always God's will, as the parable points to the Lord God in heaven. Let me read the parable so we can get it in the context. Luke 14 and verse 15 says, "Now when one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him," this man saying this to Jesus, "blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then he said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper, and he invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you, that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.'" Jesus is very serious about these pathetic excuses that were offered, and he calls them exactly that. He says they are excuses. And I think for us, as we look at this and think about this, we want to think about our own life and the maybe the times that we offer an excuse, something, you know, obviously rather pathetic. But it's just simply because we don't want to do what we're being asked to do or go somewhere we've been invited to go. And so that's the parable. He gives us a moment in time when there is a great feast, we're told. The supper is ready, so there's not going to be any downtime or any wait time. They're invited. They just need to come and partake of the food that's already out on the table and has already been served. Bring them in so that they may have a portion of my feast. And they come up with these reasons why they can't. The first one says, "I have bought a piece of ground and I have to go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." That's interesting. I'm asking you for permission to let me go and do this. But nevertheless, he's going to go do it anyway. "I bought a piece of ground." Listen to the words of the excuse. "I bought a piece of ground and I have to go see it." Who in the world would purchase a piece of property, put money down, have already bought it, and not know what it looks like, how much property there is, what can be done with it? This is insanity. And yet, again, it's to show the foolishness of it. It is an excuse. He doesn't care about his property either. If he did, he would have checked it out before he bought it. The property gives him an opportunity to say, "Oh man, I'd love to, but I got this other thing going on," which all of us have done from time to time. The second excuse is just as pathetic. "I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused." There it is again. Will you give me permission to be excused so I can go look at some oxen that I already bought? Nobody buys oxen or 5 yoke of oxen, that many oxen, without investigating them. He doesn't even know if they have legs or not. And he's already put the money down. He bought them and now he says, "I have to go test them. I have to go make sure that they can work and they can move and that they're actually oxen. This is my excuse as to why I cannot come to a feast that has been prepared for me and freely given. I can't come. I got to go look at stinky cattle." Very interesting. The third guy, he's got issues too. He says, "I have married a wife and therefore I can't come." He's newly married and he's already this whipped. This is not good. He's not going to do well in his life. "I've married a wife and so I can't come." And he doesn't even ask to be excused. He's like, "Sorry, I have a wife now." Can you imagine hearing this excuse? Because you have a wife now, you can't come to the feast. Am I hearing that right? It's a feast for everyone who's been invited, and yet you can't come because you're married. How much can your wife eat? Are you embarrassed to be seen with her in public? Why would a man say that? Oh man, I'd love to go, but I just got married and, you know, my wife. All right, see you later. As I thought about this third one, and as angry as it makes me as I look at the parable, how pathetic it is, I realize, oh, that's me. There's a lot of times in my life, there's a lot of time, I think, in men's life, it is typical of men to say, oh man, I'd love to go do that with you, but my wife. And usually, you know, whoever you're talking to is like, oh, I understand. I got a wife too, man. It's like, what in the world? Why would wives be that awful? I'd love to go, but my wife, you know, she has full control over me and she won't let me do anything I want. When most of these men do whatever they want and a lot of times don't even involve their wife. But when it serves them, they say, sorry, I'm married. And so now I don't have to go do what you invited me to do. And that is, again, the challenge is there. It's a pathetic excuse. This is God offering people to come to his table to be served and to be with him, the God who loves them. And they're saying, ah, man, I got these things going on. I got things I have to do. Earthly things, you know, temporal. Sorry about I can't focus on the eternity. It is so ridiculous. And yet we do it all the time. I think the obvious one that we can all think about is, you know, my church attendance. Man, I've come up with some good excuses not to be at services before. I've come up with some good excuses not to be at a Bible study. I got some really good ones in the chamber, you know, in case somebody asks me up by surprise. I can quickly let them know how busy I am with earthly, temporal things. And it is extremely sad when the spiritual, that which gives eternal life, is offered to someone that the temporal, the worldly, the earthly things are so important that they dominate, and so much so that we don't even hide it. We just say, sorry, I'm really wrapped up in worldly things. I can't be at services. I can't be at your Bible study. I can't go to the singing to sing with other Christians. I really got a lot going on. And we'll blame our wives for that. My wife's got me caught up. I got a big honey-do list. We'll blame our kids for that. Oh man, I can't be at services on Wednesdays because my kid plays football and his coach has scheduled those practices every Wednesday night. Can you believe that? So we're going to go to practice. We're not going to go to church. We're not going to be with brethren. We're not going to study the word of the Lord. We're not going to pray with all of you. We're going to go and sit and watch my son practice football. And so there they go. It's an excuse. The piece of ground represents the cares of this world. The five yoke of oxen was the way that men made their money. And so the five yoke of oxen represents riches. Marrying a wife represents the pleasures of this life, the cares of this world, the riches of this world, and the pleasures of this life. And this is interesting because this parable is in Luke 14, but in Luke 8, Jesus says this in Luke 8 and verse 14, the seed that fell on thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. Every single one of those excuses lines up with those three problems: the cares of this world, the riches of this world, and the pleasures of life. And all of them are passing away. And yet, over and over and over again, we are tempted to choose the earthly. There is a great supper that is being prepared, and it is one that we would all long to be at. God prepares all things for us, and he will bring us home. We're all included now because the Jews refused. It says in verse 23, the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those who were invited shall taste my supper. Revelation 19:7 says this, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these things are true sayings of God. There is a time coming when we will step into all of eternity, and those who choose to serve and to honor God will be brought to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Don't miss it. It's where you want to be.